After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? We are back with another after show of Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, Season 9, Episode 4, entitled Queen of Atlanta. I cannot wait to figure out what do you guys think on who is the Queen of Atlanta. But in the meantime, I'm joined by my lovely host. We have Alfie right up here in my top right corner.
Yeah, he's doing his muscle thing,
you know.
Oh, it was trying to stay fit during this quarantine. You just can't see it. It's far too small. But it's all good.
Okay. Then we have Elgin down at the bottom.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, guys? I'm excited for this episode. And let's get into it.
And we have our girl, Ebony, back. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Excited to dive in. Okay, so we have, of course, as always, a jam-packed show. We're going to be talking about Mama D and Cece and all of their family drama from this funeral that Mama D has planned. We have to talk about the love triangle between the new star of the show, Kiyomi, and Shooter and Cheyenne, and how is Scrap going to deal with Cheyenne being in the middle of this? We have to talk about that. We also have to talk about light-skinned Keisha and Akbar. And I mean, the episode was titled Queen of Atlanta. So we have to figure out who is the Queen of Atlanta and why is Young Jock so messy? And we also have news and gossip, a few predictions in our special segment, and we'll get out of here. So let's go ahead and talk about what we thought of the episode. Elgin, what was your overall thoughts on what happened tonight?
I'm trying not to laugh. My bad. I feel like I had this sweater on Savage just in preparation for things to get real spicy and stuff. And I felt like it was 5 minutes of spicy, and then the rest of the 35 odd minutes was like chill. I was like, what are we doing here? Like,
you thought it was chill?
I kind of thought it was chill.
I thought it was a lot more than what we've gotten so far. Ebony, what was your overall thoughts?
No, yeah, I think Elgin has a high bar of drama expectations.
Clearly.
But I thought the episode was crazy. I mean, I thought it was good. I thought there was a lot of Mama D. Mama D's always been crazy, though. Like, that wasn't, like, it's nothing new, but she just always, every single time, always takes it to the next level. Like,
takes it too
no
far
fail.
Is what she does.
At all times.
Alfie, I know you have something to say.
Well, I mean, I'm questioning Elgin's background now to see what his family like, because he must got some crazy cousins and aunties and uncles. So, I thought it was jam-packed with a lot of energy. I thought there were some real key things that I like the way Lil Scrappy and their whole family tried to handle that situation. Mm-hmm. I think it, him and Bambi were the biggest strength of learning how to deal with crazy family members. And then some old dogs, you can't teach new tricks. So, you know, in the sense of that and light-skinned Keisha, I feel like her situation is one where she had a chance to stand her ground and prove that she is something of a queen, or stop talking about that conversation. It's either something you engage in or something you don't. It's like, don't be adult sometimes and then be ratchet the other. I like her relationship with her dude. So they've been going through a lot. Maybe she just decided to run away and hide, but I thought she's on the screen. Go and stand your ground and talk your smack now before y'all in the face, because she seemed like the type who liked to touch it. So, you know.
Oh, wow. You came for light-skinned Keisha. Okay. So what you're really saying is it was a great opportunity. You know, y'all know I love light-skinned Keisha. So what you're really saying is she's all bark and no bite. Yikes. We're going to talk about it. Okay, first, let's go ahead and get... We got to go ahead and just talk about the Mama D drama, because I feel like that was the highlight of the episode. what person did you know show up in all black and have literal, like, edited, printed out obituary, like, flyers ready to hand across the table? So, as we know, Cece and Mama D have beef. They were living together at a time, and it just did not work out. They've just had drama, literally, for a little while now. And Scrappy and Bambi, they just want their lives to be better. They want their family to get along, as they should. And Mama D is not here for any kind of reconciliation. She is just like, I don't mess with her. She said, quote, that is treason, and treason means death. So I don't know, what are y'all thoughts about this whole Mama D situation and how she's handling the relationship with Bambi's mom, Cece? Ebony, what's your thoughts?
Well, I obviously, you know, Mama D is all about the drama, 110% at all times. So I feel like this is nothing of a new expectation. I would expect nothing more from Mama D. Like, I need her to bring all the dramatics, all that energy. She wants all the smoke at all times. Like, I need that from her. However, if we're going to be realistic about the situation, it is 100% way too far. Obituaries, like, you want someone dead. Like, that is so stepping beyond the boundaries, especially because that's your son's mother-in-law as well. Like, come on, you have to think about not just for yourself, but like your grandchildren and their relationship, you know, your son and his wife's relationship. Like, that's not going to do anything but cause more drama. And she knows that. And it's just like, why do you continue to fuel the fire on something that legitimately, A, really has nothing to do with you? Like, whatever they're arguing about, I couldn't even put my finger on anything that they're arguing about. Like, why are they even mad at each other?
It's just long. It's like ongoing drama. It's not anything new. It's just like, this happened,
but it's like, get over it. Like, you guys are both too old. I was watching this with my mom, and she was like, y'all too old to be doing all of this. And I was like, for real, they are.
I did want to point out before Alfie and Elgin, before you guys give your input, she did say, to her defense, and I'm not defending her whatsoever because it was still wrong, but she said that she wanted to put to death her evil spirit. Not that she wanted her dead, she wanted to put to death her evil ways and evil spirit. So I don't think she was necessarily wishing death upon her. But with that being said, Alfie, what do you think? Do you think she still went too far?
Well, yeah. But she did wish death at whatever that red carpet was. And then she made it evil way. So there was a little bit of
both. She tried to clean it up for the show today. Yes.
Which was a good move. She is made for reality TV, and she's like the perfect branding kind of entity. So that part for good TV, she does everything on point that, you know, makes the Love & Hip Hop brand have its, like, you know, television quality of crazy entertainment. So I give her kudos for being herself. At the same time, you know, again, going what Ebony said to the realness, when it comes to family, some people are just grumpy old men, and they either have to take it as a laugh thing and allow them to have that little cute food, but not make it violent and tell them, y'all can do your thing, but just it's getting to the point where it's ridiculous and it's not real. Yeah. So in a sense of reality, I feel bad for Bambi's mom because I think technically she did mess up by whatever the trash she was talking when she was staying at Mama D's house, which is a violation. And when you violate like that, people can go overboard. You throw a stone, you may get a bullet back. And you'd be like, oh, it's no, not fair. But it is fair when it comes to war. So there's that stuff. And you're talking to a rapper's mom who, you know, she's just
she about that life.
He got that from somewhere, clearly. He got that from his mama. All that rapper stuff, yeah. All right, that's it.
LG, okay, wrap this up. What do you think?
Okay. I feel like there's been a lot of funeral references this whole entire season so far.
There has.
Which is just crazy. And I feel like the situation between the two grandmothers, in a sense, I think that's, like, really bad with the family. Because I feel like grandparents are seen as the head of the family. So whatever problems that they're having trickle downs on everybody else. And I feel like Scrappy was right when he said, like, I don't know if he said, but in a minute, oh no, KK said that. In a minute, you're going to have both the husband and the wife fighting because that's their parents that, you know, that they're both, you know, tied to. So when they're arguing, it's going to ultimately come back down to them. And I feel like Scrappy said he want his whole family together. Well, where the heck is Erica at? Because that's a part of the family as well.
All right. Her best life with her twins, and I want, first of all, Imani looks just like Erica. When she was sitting at that dinner table, I was just like, you are your mother's daughter, literally. But even what you said about what Karen was saying to Mama D, Scrappy mm-hmm. kind of said at the dinner too, like, you know, I don't even know if I necessarily want my family around you or even my kids around mm-hmm. you if you guys are gonna be acting like that. So I agree, that's it's true. This can just trickle down even lower. And for Mama D to even behave that way in front of her granddaughter, Imani's old enough to know what is going on. The baby, not so much, but it kind of just was like, all right, this is the life you want your granddaughter to see you in. I don't know. We know she's outrageous, but that was kind of just too far. And I feel like if that was my grandma, I'll be like, I don't know who this woman is, but I'm not respecting you. In a sense. But we want you guys to continue respecting us and what we do here at AfterBuzz. Ebony, can you let the fans know how they can stay tuned?
Period.
Period. That's hilarious. Period.
Yes, of course, you guys.
How can we stay tuned, Ebony?
Is there like a huge delay?
Yeah, there is.
You guys, can you guys hear me?
Okay.
Yes. Okay. You guys can continue to stay tuned, subscribe to our channel, watch us, please interact, comment on our post. Okay. I think we're finally coming. Okay, it's a little
sorry about the connection. What Ebony was talking about was we really appreciate you guys to subscribe
and support us. We
give us those likes, give those 5 stars. We really appreciate you. And you are the reason why we are the ESPN of TV Talk. Bang!
Yes, we love you guys. As you can see, you know, we are trying to work with what we have during this quarantine. And you know, Wi-Fi kind of acts up, but we are going to keep the show rolling.
You know what I'm saying?
As we wait for Ebony to get her, you know, connection together, let's go ahead and dive into topic 2. So I want to talk about this love triangle between Kiyomi, Shooter, Cheyenne, this whole crazy madness. So as we know, Cheyenne is brothers and family. It's sister, family of Scrap. Scrap just got out of jail. He's trying to get his life back on track. He has his barbershop that he's trying to open. He also just opened up a restaurant, I want to say. And pretty much he has a restaurant and he's giving back to the community and things like that. So Cheyenne is now talking to one of his partners within, our producer's kind of on chatting in the mix, but Cheyenne is talking to Scrap, and it's this whole thing. And then come to find out, now that we were introduced to Kiyomi's character, the character who was dating Bow Wow, the infamous elevator scene, the fight, all of that, it comes to find out she's dating Shooter also. So what were your overall thoughts in general of this whole triangle and how Shooter is trying to pretty much be a player throughout this whole new season?
No.
I think you got something to say.
Yes, I do. Because girls like you call him player, and he's literally doing where he's listening to what the girls say. They have an open communication. Both know.
Do they? That,
yes, do they did.
Finish. I'm going to let you
Yes,
finish.
They okay. did. Finish. They had the conversation where it was like he said they're kind of on an open relationship. It allows them to talk to other people. They're not taking it too serious, but she's the main boo of the first one, not Bow Wow's ex.
Kiyomi is the favorite.
Is the favorite. And he said that. And they also know that their kind of other situations or his other situations are amiss. He doesn't put her in the face, and that's why they're on the low. And that's why they've been talking for so long. And the whole Scrap situation comes into play because they haven't been super serious. He did meet her before he met Scrap. And that's why that doesn't necessarily isn't dirty. He's being a man and he's allowing the cards that he's dealt to play it properly to where he could juggle that. But he never tried to play anybody. And if they probably could get jealous, but it'd be one of them situations where it's just in your face and you don't know. That's some, you know what I'm saying? And that's just how that game go. If you do it the right way, everybody's happy. Y'all always want a man to tell you the truth. So, you know, it's one of those situations where they know what's up and it is what it is. Cool. I don't know how Scrap gonna feel, but you know,
Eldrin, what do you think? What's your take on this?
That's facts.
Let me try to word this right.
That's facts. Okay.
So I don't know about this whole open relationship thing, like that you know, hey, if you like it, I love it. But it ain't for me. But I feel like it's cool when everybody is on the same page, I think. I'm guessing, but I feel like in that scene where Cheyenne was talking to KK, she was like, well, we're about to make it official, like, you know. And then the other one, Kiyama, I don't know, she said that they were coming out official as well. So I feel like, are they all on the same page? Like, you all can agree that you're open, but are you all on the same page with it?
And they are not. I don't know what you saw out there.
That's the gray area. That's the gray area.
Cheyenne does not know that he is seeing other people. In her mind, I feel like she thinks that they are one. They are equal. She's ready to let Scrap know this is my man. She's ready to put her and her brother's relationship at risk for this man. While he is talking about Kiyomi is his favorite and he wants to be with her and he's just chill. I don't know. I can't go into depth of all what he said, but I don't agree. Ebony, are you back? Do you want to give your input? Okay.
Can you hear me? Am I good? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. We just can't see you. It's okay. We can hear you.
Okay. Well, as long as you can hear me. Basically, I just feel like the whole open relationship thing, I feel like, of course, Scooter is going to think that Kiyomi is new and fun and his favorite because she's been there for 3 months. So, of course, she's the favorite because she's new. Maybe you haven't been through as much as with Cheyenne. So, I don't know. I feel like Cheyenne needs to really reevaluate who she's dealing with, because at the end of the day, Shooter is Shooter and you hear the things on the streets about him. So I feel like you need to listen. I don't feel like anything that comes out at this point shouldn't be a surprise, because he was never a stand-up man to begin with, not even in his marriage. So this shouldn't be any news.
Well, you know what you get into.
Okay.
Even more.
Well, that's Mike with Ebony. Well. I agree though, because him and Cheyenne were together for 2 years, right? Well, she said that they had been doing this thing for about 2 years now. And I guess, if him and Kiyomi are new, you're right. She's a new thing, new excitement. So, but I feel like as a man, I don't know. I feel like Cheyenne should be fulfilling him that way also, but I don't know. I just still think he needs to sit them down and have an understanding. And I'm hoping that in the episodes to come, Cheyenne does not reveal this secret to her brother and then in the midst of them not knowing officially what they are. And then this whole drama, I don't know. I just see it happening. I see it unfolding and it's just going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. And I personally think, like, Kiyomi, from after what she's been dealing with, like with her relationship with Bow Wow, how she just got out of that and things like that. It's like, it's kind of soon to kind of be jumping into something new. I don't know. Like, I would be focusing on, it looks like she's trying to have a rap career, model career. Does anybody know what she's doing on the show? I saw the photo shoot.
I thought it was a song. Sounds like a music video. I think it's a music video.
She seems like an Alexis Guy type of career person.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay, well, either way, I really hope that they can get this whole love triangle together, because it seems very toxic already. And I feel like once, I don't know, they already have, they're in over their heads dealing with his previous baby mama and then Sierra. So they need to come to terms with something fast. Okay, I really want to talk about light-skinned Keisha and Akbar and this madness. So apparently light-skinned Keisha is trying to take the throne from someone else, and her name is Akbar, and she believes that she is the queen of Atlanta, and she is not here for light-skinned Keisha calling herself the queen of Atlanta also. So Akbar, as you saw, she had this listening session, and she revealed that she does not mess with light-skinned Keisha by putting out like this diss track or whatever. Of course, word gets back to light-skinned Keisha through Tokyo. There's this whole drama. First of all, is saying that you own a city kind of cliche? It's been done now. What do you guys even think about her standing so firmly of calling herself the queen of Atlanta? Because, like, I don't know if it was Shekinah or Tokyo, someone said, like, you can't be the queen if you don't have any hits. So what are your thoughts on just in general calling yourself the queen of a city? Alfie, you go first.
The biggest thing is that part. If you don't have no hits and no, you know, accolades to really stand on, I think it's just you claiming a block, no different. Just you repping your city to the utmost and wanting to be seen as the best when it comes to your craft. I believe it's a reach for a storyline. I definitely feel like the Love & Hip Hop brand is something that attracts female bullies in a lot of ways. Yeah. I think with the men, if they get into problems, they're having actual situations or something of more substance. I feel like with the back and forth that they set up or the females kind of go through, it seems to be these weird preschool kind of caricatures of who's the bully on the Sandlot type stuff. And it just is a revolving door of Jocelyn's, Akbar's, you know, prima donnas.
He's
and all
giving
that,
us the history.
Right. But that's what I feel like that is. And I feel like with her, she's a savage, though. She's at least she's a good bully.
All right. What do you think? What do you think, Elgin, with your savage hoodie on?
I feel like the whole, like, title of a city is like kind of overrated. Like, I feel like people putting their life on the line if they don't got this title. And I feel like it's crazy, right? Like, but I feel like if you go have this title, you at least got to have the keys to the city. Like, you know, like Trina, she got the keys to Miami for the mayor. Like, Cash Dog got the city. Right? Like, y'all up here, y'all ain't got the keys to anything. Y'all calling yourself like the queen or something. And I'm just like, it's crazy. I don't know. But I feel like, yeah, you definitely got to have hits. Like, you have to at least be known.
You have to have
at least somebody outside your city.
Be able to sustain. Like, I just don't understand. At this point, I feel like, she's claiming queen of Atlanta. She needs to seek T.I. at this point. T.I. needs to pick his queen of Atlanta, okay? Nobody is speaking. He speaks on it. Because, I don't know. It's, well, Tiny is his queen, but she's not claiming that she's the queen of Atlanta. Like, she knows her place with her man, but musically, if he's gonna have a queen, okay, I'm making a stretch. So, anyway, we saw pretty much this whole drama unfold. Young Jock is being very messy in the situation. He brings her to the studio, light-skinned Keisha to the studio to kind of address what was going on. And he pops up with a video and, like, I think it was, I don't know if it's a FaceTime video, I don't know what it was, but just pretty much addressing light-skinned Keisha during what was supposed to be an interview of her promoting her song, Talk That Talk. Ebony, how did you feel about how Young Jock handled that situation?
I thought Young Jock was messy, 110%. I 100% agree with light-skinned Keisha. You don't, like, surprise someone with this beef, and I think it was 100% in her right to walk away and not want to participate in it. I do feel like how she reacted 100% was dramatic. I mean,
you think it was dramatic?
I think you have a right to be mad. I would be mad too, but I mean, cussing and doing this, and I got a Birkin and BVS this and da-da-da. Like, relax. We know you make money. Calm down. It was too much. It was like Jock has all that stuff too. Like, what are you saying? Like, that doesn't. No, mean- I mean, he's doing something. He's doing something. Got 10 kids. He need to do something, okay? But it was just like, I just felt like her whole, like, response back was very, like, ill. Like, you don't need to show off. Like, if you got it, you got it. You don't need to be, it's all this new money. You know, like, I got this, I got that. Like, it didn't need to be that. Like, don't participate in the conversation and walk off and be over it. Not like, I'm quitting loving hip hop and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Like, relax. This is the storyline that you signed up for. So stop it.
Yeah. So, okay, Alfie, you know, we're always big on like professional standpoints and how you should act in the industry. I personally thought that him being a rapper and him in the past and knowing protocols and things like that, I'm sure when he goes into interviews, there are things when they're with celebrities tell them off bat, don't ask me about this, don't mention this, this, this. So from him being in the industry for a long time, how do you feel about how he put that on her in that situation?
I mean, if you want to go down to real life, it was unprofessional in a major way, but we're on Love and Hip Hop. It is one of those. Wait, no, let me get it. Because when it comes to those morning shows, sometimes they throw you curveballs, or it's more about the spectacle. You know, you on the jock show. So things are, especially being her in her position, being more of a newer artist, not necessarily an older artist. I personally thought, yes, it was unprofessional, but it was a great opportunity for her to like stand her ground. And I think she let that kind of thing pass, me personally, only because of the type of show it's on. You know, Love and Hip Hop cameras here, you know, you won't have to, if the girl pops up on the screen, as long as she ain't in the room and y'all gonna touch each other or nothing like that, then this is the greatest opportunity to get your feelings off. And if you feel like you the queen, be able to say it in her face and be like, you know, if that's the move you gonna make, because she is a rapper, so that is, it gets buzzing, and that's all I think it comes down to. She missed a great media hype thing, which a lot of people do stupid shit and go out their way for in order to make that happen. It organically came away. She should have just stepped up, but you know, professionally, she could have left. I think the argument with Jock was necessary in order to get them not to do that to you again. But I think she went a little far with making it childish with talking about money and all that other stuff, because that was just frivolous. It was more about, if you really felt disrespected, don't let them disrespect you and get up out of there. So you keep your class so that if you decide to come back, it's not a weird thing of you playing with me. I don't know if you're going to play with me. You know what I mean?
But question. When Cardi B was on Love and Hip Hop, do you think, I don't really remember her ever being in like a gimmicky, like, fight or anything that was too crazy. I mean, she had a lot of media attention too, and she did her 2 years and bounced and became like one of the biggest rappers. So I'm saying, I think that's what like Skin Keisha's trying to do, is trying to like evolve and like move, let this be a good stepping stone. So I'm saying, like, do you think that since it was like a good media attempt, do you think that she should have taken that opportunity, or do you think that like maybe that was a good idea to just leave? In comparison to Cardi B?
My honest opinion, it's one of those, it could go either way. It depends on what sparks with people. I think the classy way is always, hands down, the first choice option to think about. Mm-hmm. And then if you decide to turn up, it's because, one, the girl's on the screen. It's not like she popped up at the radio station. Two, this topic of who's the queen of Atlanta, if you want to address it, this is the time to be like, whatever, I'm the queen, da 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 da, spit your bars, and be like, poof. And then Jock was like, his thing was to set it up for her to do that. Like, I want you to, you know, somebody shut this girl up. So it wasn't necessary to, like, set her up to look bad. It was actually to set her up to look good. She just didn't see that, and she felt offended because it was a surprise, which is valid. But at the same time, if you're going to be a rapper, then you got to be open to those random things thrown at you and become the savage that the fans are going to be like, oh, she be killing, spit bars, she don't back down. All that stuff comes into play. Mm-hmm. And there is my answer.
Okay. Do you agree, Elgin? What are your thoughts on it?
I agree with everything he just said. No, I'm playing. I feel like that whole situation, I feel like she did kind of do the right thing. But at the same time, it is Love and Hip Hop. So what else are you going to expect? I mean, I kind of expected her to pop up at the studio and everyone just start brawling and everything. But I guess that suffers. But at the same time, one thing I noticed about people on Love and Hip Hop is that they always try to insert themselves in other people's storylines instead of taking what's care at home in their own storyline. And I think Doc needs to go take care of his little vasectomy.
Exactly.
Situation.
Let's talk about that, because he was all up in Miss Carly Red's face at, I believe it was Scraps Party, the 1 year free party that he was having. Yeah. So he's flirting with her and all of this, and then looking at females in and out, and admitted that him and Kendra are on the rocks because of the whole argument with the vasectomy. So, do we think Jack is ready for a relationship? Because he keeps proving himself otherwise. Ebony is already shaking her head. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I think I said it before, like, don't think Jack will ever be fully committed. I think he likes the attention of women. I think there's like an addictive factor to being in a relationship and like being wanted by women, or spending your money on them, or going out with different women, having different looks, I think there's like an addiction to it. And I think he's caught up in that playboy mentality because he's been doing it for so long that at some point it's kind of like, this is the way I live my life. I don't know anything more than this. You know, you get comfortable in that.
Yeah. Alfie, what do you think? Do you think young Jock needs to let it go, or?
I think I'm with Ebony. It's one of those things where he's turning into the old dog who can't teach new tricks type thing. And I think, you know, he's on the, like, other than Shooter, who's kind of more open and forefront, even though keeping them in the gray area with him, he plays the cross the line stuff where, you know, he's got somebody thinking that this is a committed situation that's going into marriage. And even though I guess he may think he's not going to do the temptation, he puts himself in that situation. I believe it's always the setup for tragedy. And whether you say it was by accident, the fault comes with placing yourself in the wrong situation and having just the wrong kind of character. That's a character for more of a single man or somebody in an open relationship. But if you somebody who don't want somebody tearing up your stuff and getting into the crazy fights that you were with Cardi Red and all that stuff, I feel like you have to elevate yourself and change. And you can still be attractive to women and just find another way about it. Love on your wife and let them see how great you are to your woman, and let that be the reason why they look at you, rather than, I'm just here by the bar. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree. I just really feel like you said, LJ, he needs to be worried about his upkeep at home instead of trying to be the fuel to the fire of a Atlanta fight between light-skinned Keisha and Akbar. Light-skinned Keisha is my girl. I feel like she did what she needed to do in the situation. She's about business. Yes. She was trying to just promote her song, and he threw her off her game. So, yes. But y'all, this episode was a lot. It was a lot going on. I thought it was a good episode. The drama is coming. I feel it just boiling. And yeah. Oh, I did want to talk about the whole, like, the interviews that they were doing. Quarantine style. And
confessionals.
The confessionals. Okay.
Ooh, so the ghetto.
I guess we can't necessarily talk because we're at home too. Like, I'm literally have my phone propped up on my hamper. So we're all doing what we need to do. But I just was not expecting that. What was you guys' thoughts on that really fast?
Well, y'all heard what I said.
Well, I mean, for me, it was keep the hustle going. You know, I'm glad that they're finding a way to keep people entertained. I think that shows a little bit above and beyond of how, you know, crazy it is right now and how dangerous it is. People need something to watch, and they don't want to see reruns all the time, and they want to see exactly what was supposed to be scheduled. And for the people who are the staffs and going out their way to allow this to work, I feel like, you know, kudos. And thank you for the, you know, loving hip hop people. They could be more caring about their family and what's going on over there than doing the show. You know what I'm saying? So
that's true.
That part.
Yeah. I did. I guess it was more so a shocker to me because I thought it gave us an insight of the production standpoint of how they do Love and Hip Hop also, because I thought they had all of that done. I didn't know like they were still, you know, doing those things even now. I thought, because sometimes when they're talking, it just kind of seems like it happened earlier. So it was just, I just wanted to like throw that in there.
I agree. I think it was definitely a surprise. I was like, oh, wait a second. And I was like, wait, are they in the living room? KK's outside in the balcony with some palm trees. Right. I was like, where's she at?
Right. Like, maybe they need to mail them a backdrop or something. So
right.
Like, well, I think she had like a computer chair in the back and Bambi was in her closet. It was a lot going on.
Shooter's place looked a little dirty, but that's really none of my business.
But speaking of business, Elgin, what is going on? We need the news and the tea that you have in the Love and Hip Hop world outside of these confessionals.
Hey, hell. Well, all right, guys. I'm coming to you with the Love and Hip Hop Atlanta news. And it's kind of funny. Later... And I feel like the last news kind of been revolving around Ciara, but that's all right. Ciara came on Instagram Live the other day with an apology for Carly Red. And it kind of went like this.
As he pulled out his notebook.
I'm here to apologize to Carly Red about hitting her. So,
she wrote it out?
No.
That's when the judge make you do it. That's when the judge make you do it.
The video came out, like, she obviously didn't have, like, a pen and paper and reading it off, but it came off as really rehearsed. And everyone was in the chat, like, saying, oh, this was definitely rehearsed, like, the way she was talking and mentioning about all the things that she did to Carly Rae. It came off like she literally was just reading the lines for a role of character. So she basically came on live with an apology to Carly Rae that was rehearsed.
Wow. I mean, I still think that was still, it was just all a plot and a plan to prevent her from getting another charge. So like Alfie was just getting, I think it was Alfie or Ebony was saying, her lawyer told her to do that at this point so she could save herself because she was wilding.
Not do that probation.
Yeah, but thank you for that news. Let's go ahead and get into our special segment where we just talk about who brought it this episode. Ebony, who do you think brought it on tonight's episode?
Well, even though we talked some mess, I'm gonna go with light skin Keisha. She brought all the energy. Yes, Tyra, I'm on team light skin Keisha. She brought all the energy. She brought all the vibes. Like, she definitely was, you know, standing her ground. I hope she doesn't quit, and I hope that was just all talk, and she comes back next episode and stops playing these games. But because she knew what she was signing up for. But I'm gonna say light skin Keisha.
All right, Afi, who do you think?
I have to give it to Akbar because light skin Keisha ran from her.
Virtually.
Virtually.
Simple on that one. And my dog Shooter, because you know, he's living that life and finding his way through the highways and byways.
Listen.
You just like him.
One of y'all.
Right. LG, who do you think brought it?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say Mama D. And unfortunately, because the way that she had to do it, the way she had to go out and do it. But yeah, she definitely brought that heat. She brought that funeral church gal heat and, you know, did the obituary on her. So,
no, I totally agree. It was extreme. It was awful. But listen, Mama D know spicy. How to stir the pot, okay? She knows how to stir the pot, and she did that this episode. I do not condone what she did whatsoever, but, I mean, the woman, she's creative. Let's just start there. She's just creative. Yeah. Do we have any predictions for the next episode?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What's your predictions, Ebony?
You know, so when I first saw the preview to the next episode and I saw Alexa Sky on there, I was like, oh boy, like, what's she gonna be doing? But you know what? She actually had a very serious topic to talk about, which, you know, I'm actually here for. I'm excited to hear what she has to say about the sex trafficking. I think it's a very serious issue. And if she'd been through it, like, that's a great message. I would love to see more from her. I hope my prediction is that she just gets off the gram, stopped working. You have a daughter. This is not cute anymore. You're like, I know you're only 24. And it's like, you need to figure out what, like, have a message. You have enough money now to, like, build a brand, do something, be on Love & Hip Hop for a reason. It was fun. It was cute at first when you were Fetty Wap's baby mom, but now, like, let's get it together. So that's my prediction. Yeah. I need her to get it together.
Alfie, what do you think?
I think Mama D gonna keep the crazy going, for sure. I'm hoping that it finds a solution, though, because I like Scrap and Bambi's arc and how now they're more, you know, in
stable.
Unison and stable. I like that to build because, I mean, I hope this is all comedy and part of the show, because if it's not, then they are on the verge of going this way or that way with that family. And then my homeboy Shooter, that's that roller coaster gonna come to end, and he might lose a friend. So, you know, hopefully he don't do too much when it comes to, you know, in between them lanes in the highways and byways.
What are your predictions, Elgin?
Yeah, I feel like Shooter and Scrap probably go get into an altercation, maybe. I feel like Mama D and CC, they're going to be fighting out over Zoom. And I feel like Rashida and Kirk may come to a head in some sort of way, because that's what I saw in the coming up next. So we'll see.
Coming up next. Yeah. I see a big mess between Shooter and that whole love triangle. Mm-hmm. I kind of see light-skinned Keisha just seems like she's just like the bigger person kind of girl. And I kind of see her like just trying to be the bigger person and reaching out to Akbar and just trying to, like, you know, mend whatever, because she states that she's really big on, like, not being in a competition with people. Like, you know, every woman can build and win. So I'm just hoping that that can happen. But yeah, guys, that was a good episode. It's always a great time chatting with you guys about Love & Hip Hop. Where can we find you guys on social? Alfie, where can we find you?
You can find me on IG and TikTok, because I'll be in the crib. Alfred Nolan Thomas 2.
Yes. What about you, Ebene?
And on Twitter at EbonyChapman12.
Yes, we can find her at EbonyChapman on IG and Twitter, right?
Yes, both.
Yes. Okay. What about you, Elgin?
All right. And as always, I only got Instagram, and that's gonna be and that's gonna be at Elgin_22.
Yes, okay. And then you guys can find me on Instagram at Tyra Prude Official and on Twitter at Tyra Prude. Again, it's been fun. You guys stay safe, stay home, and we will be back at the same time next week. See you guys later. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.